Okay, so Betsy DeVos has now become the Secretary of Education. I'm just wondering, it was a very close vote. A lot of people think that her performance before the confirming Senate committee was just awful, as bad as could be, and yet she gets the role. How come Trump really wants her there?
Oh, you know, getting inside the mind of Donald Trump, I don't know that I can do. He seems to like the notion that she says she stands for about, you know, about more vouchers and more, you know, deep public schooling, the public school system. She's obviously was an important fundraiser. And he, having made this nomination, our default setting in Washington is to believe that Donald Trump is going to be loyal to people up until the moment he throws them overboard. And at least on having made these cabinet nominations, he's a prideful guy, and he would be very, very reluctant to ditch one of his nominees. Maybe he'll ask the nominees themselves to ditch themselves, but if they want to do it, it seems that Mr. Trump's personality is to stick with him.
Well, I've heard her described as an idiot, to be perfectly frank with you. Is she?
I don't know the woman. I watched that confirmation hearing like many others. She certainly was ill prepared. She certainly turned in a very wobbly performance. I tend to think that people, I mean, she's obviously been successful in some ways in her life, so she's got to have something on the ball. Whether her skill set translates into running one of the most high profile departments of the federal government, I guess, you know, it seems like an open question despite her confirmation. This was an important, I think those of us, again, who live in D.C. and don't have school-age kids, like I no longer have school-age kids and I live in deep blue D.C., I think some of us in the press corps tend to forget that this is a cabinet position that many, many voters probably are paying attention to more than they're paying attention to the Justice Department or the State Department or the Interior Department, that education is where, you know, many, many pivotal voters in this country, they view as a really, really important issue. So I think he's taken a big risk here by putting somebody on who has who's off to such a rocky start, because I think even Trump supporters, if she turns out to be an embarrassment, it'll get a lot of high profile. And I think many voters see the education secretary as that's a job that they can understand what it does, and they'll pay attention.
David, you've written that the congenial Senate has now become much more chaotic in this Trump era. How so?
Oh, it really has. I mean, I think the so much of the collegiality and the comity that really distinguished the Senate for my first couple of decades watching the Senate has disappeared. The loss of the filibuster is an important part of that. The notion that you no longer need to have any kind of bipartisan collaboration to get a cabinet secretary or any executive branch official or the head of any agency or any judge confirmed has taken away a lot of the collegial nature of the Senate. And they are on the cusp, I fear, and of taking away the remaining filibusters, which are for Supreme Court justices, as we've been talking about in the last couple of times we've been talking. And after that, the only filibuster that's left is on legislation. And I think once they have taken away all filibusters on confirmations, it'll only be a matter of time before Mitch McConnell goes the rest of the way and tries to engineer an end to the filibuster on legislation. And that would really change the fundamental nature of the Senate. It would really be like just a House of Representatives with 100 people in it rather than 435 people.
I wanted to talk to you about the 2018 elections. It's become commonplace to hear discussion that the Democrats have to defend so many seats that they could probably look forward to losing even more seats in the Senate. Is that right?
That's certainly the way the map is. I know you know this, but just to remind the listeners, the way the Senate works is since a senator gets to stick around for 6 years, they're staggered terms. One third of the Senate is up every 2 years. Because the Democrats did pretty well in 2012 and 2006, they end up having 25 seats to defend next time, whereas the Republicans only have whatever it is, 8. And there are only 2 of those 8 Republicans who represent purple states, Heller of Nevada, Flake of Arizona. Meanwhile, of the 25 states the Democrats are defending, 10 of them are in Trump states, including five of those 10 represent states that were supposed to be part of Hillary Clinton's blue wall, but that ended up falling, going red and for Trump in 16, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida. So, tough to see with that map how the Republicans, I think, will have to work hard not to pick up at least a couple of seats.
I want to go to last question to Trump's talking about and other people talking about alternative facts, fake news, and the White House and the press. What do you make of that sitting up there on the Hill?
Well, it is difficult. Obviously, my company actually makes it not just a sort of a highfalutin journalistic mandate to try and be even-handed, but it's really our business case is that we want people to come to CQ and roll call because they think we're going to play it down the middle and not tilt it ideologically one way or the other, not have any rooting interest in any bill becoming law or not becoming law. It is difficult to be pursuing that while at the same time trying to live in this sort of factual hall of mirrors that the administration seems to be living in.
So they lie a lot. They lie a lot. Do you call them on the lies?
We do. I actually did write a piece last week where I think the words lie and falsehood and untruth were all three words in the first 200 words I wrote, which were that was a chilling moment for me. But it seemed like a very clear cut case. And I was referring then, and this is so a couple of weeks ago, to the what I call the three big whoppers of the first week, the inaugural crowd, that whole thing, the blaming of the media for picking that Mr. Trump said it was the media's had concocted the fight between the intelligence agencies and him. And then, of course, the 3 to 5 million illegal voters. I mean, those were all three unvarnished whoppers, untruths, lies. I mean, lie is the strongest of those words because lie, the connotation of lie is that there was an intent to deceive, not just a misstatement, but an intent to deceive. It seems to me that several of those were lies. They were intended to deceive. They were intended to change the subject, intended maybe to divert attention from other more important things. So yes, it's a strange moment to be a journalist.
David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, a friend of this radio station who really does have more information about what's going on in the Congress than just about anyone. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ, Congressional Quarterly, since 1995. David, thank you so much for doing this for us once again.
Thank you, Alan. It's always a pleasure.